Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online,
we are live in the Blog Talk Radio studio, and I'm live in my tiny house in Orlando, Florida. Welcome, welcome. We're going to send a greeting out to our global family now before we start our show. Thank you for joining us this August 19th. This is the 231st day of 2022. Yay! It rings as a six, I believe. So we're going to roll in this number six for a while and learn some very, very important lessons. Let's do it together, shall we?
We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, ni hao. In
ni
India,
hao.
Namaste. In
namaste.
Japan, konnichiwa. In Korea, annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, zdravstvuyte. In Germany, guten tag. In Poland, dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, saubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
We are here, we are here, we are here. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. This topic continues from Sunday. I did a show on Sunday about developing or welcoming triggers so that we can develop emotional intelligence. So it's very important to continue this topic because this week has been full of conversation about the soul of one man who passed on in last month, actually, but we didn't find out about it for weeks later. And the conversation has just been all over the place about this one soul. And I thought about this morning how we are all students now of these souls that pass on. Yes, we are students. They are no longer students. They don't have anything else to learn, but we do. Because they have left so abruptly, we are especially wondering, what is going on? Why? And we can learn some lessons today if we have ears to hear, our hearts are open, to understand divine order of things. So this morning, my intention is to bring us to a place of full overstanding the Creator's intention and purpose to allow a soul to leave abruptly in our minds, but really the timing is perfect when we really think about it. Because Ecclesiastes chapter 7 reminds us that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Why? Who would think that way? Who would think that way? How could the day of one's death be better than the day of one's death, a birth? Because mothers and fathers and family have such joy when you come into this planet. You birth out of the womb, and it's just joy. And then when people leave the planet, it's tears and sorrow. How could it be better? Well, it continues in Ecclesiastes 7 to say, because the living take it to heart. We are assigned as creators, creatures of the cosmic universe energy, we have been assigned to take to heart the transition of a soul that we all knew and loved. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to take to heart the transition of one soul, two souls actually, that left the planet. So stay with me and you're going to learn a lot. We are all now students. Remember, we are not teachers when two people leave. We're students. So we're going to learn a lot today. I've prepared a couple of audios from professionals to help us understand mental illness and suicide. And we're going to learn something today that I hope and pray will bring you to joy and acceptance and love for yourself, more love for yourself, and especially more knowledge about emotional intelligence. So thank you for joining me. We are now going to do what you came here to do, and that's roll some joints. Yes, let's roll up. No, not these joints, but these joints. We want to maybe roll some joints later if you want, whatever. Do what makes you feel good, and do whatever makes you feel, come out of depression. But we're not rolling these joints this morning, but we're rolling these joints. So that's what you came here for. Welcome. Let's do this. We got a lot to talk about this morning. So let's get busy with rolling some joints. And we're going to start with our neck. I do this because that's what the professionals I've learned do as well. They roll their neck around before they start their workout to loosen up all this muscle that's holding up the heavy weight here in this brain, the command center. We are strengthening the muscles that hold up the command center when we roll our neck around. So let's do that, and then we'll go into shoulder rolls. Then we'll get on our backs, kick up those legs and arms, and lubricate all these ankles and wrist joints, and then knees, and then finally the hip joint. So let's do this. Let's get busy getting high on life.
Keep it on top.
And place those hands behind your neck and squeeze and release. Squeeze the vagus nerve energy. Activate all that vagus nerve energy. Squeeze and release. Breathe in. Let's give a pat down our arms. Love on those arms. That skin loves to be touched. I need to be touched. You need to be touched every day. Let's rub, or pat that down. Pat the chest. Activate your immune system right here in the middle, thymus gland. Grab those booties. Squeeze. Get all that tension and clogging and blockage out. And then go under the breath and massage the lymph system. Move all that fluid around. Woo-hoo! Give yourself a hand. You just done a love work for your body. Woo-hoo! Okay, I'm going to go back to my studio now so we can get this party started. Let's get this party started. All right, here in the studio with my handsome father. Sherman Howard is with me, and you're with me. Hallelujah. What a great day we're having. Whew, thank you. All right, we're here together. Let's get my dad in the picture. We're here together to honor two souls who passed on this year, and their lessons are powerful for us because, as I said, we're all either students or teachers. And I realize, let me put a disclaimer out there. Some people don't believe that. That's okay. There are lots of people out there who don't believe that lessons, we're here to learn lessons. Nah, they don't want to learn lessons. And especially when you lose a child, that's such a painful, painful time for parents when their child transitions and moves on, who chooses to get out of the game. Yesterday on the Female Solution, Mama Joy said something that I made note of. She said, being in the game and knowing your purpose is what it's all about. Staying in the game, because it's a game, it's this whole journey around politics and death and life and all, it's all a game. So Mama Joy and our executive producer, Naima Latif, were discussing yesterday relationships with men and women and all that. And Mama Joy said, it's a game. Men love to watch football. Women might love to watch tennis. We love to be entertained by these games, right? So I love the idea that she said, being in the game and knowing your purpose is what's really, really key and important. So these two souls that we're going to talk about today, they decided to get out of this effing game. Who blames them? Who can blame any soul that says, I'm out of here, I've had enough? Because we really don't know the heart motivation for why people decide to leave this game. Out, whatever way they leave, doesn't matter. Chesley Christ, who I'm going to talk about first, was a supermodel, Miss America, and had the most beautiful, beautiful body and face and hair and everything. She had all it going for her. She jumps off a building, jumps off an effing building. Who does that? Well, I've had a show on this, and I decided a drug will make you do that. Pharmaceutical, big mafia, big pharma mafia. They got plenty of drugs that you can put in your body that will trigger the thought that, let's jump off a building today. That's what happens with Big Pharma Mafia. So that's my take on Chesley's decision to get out of this game. I'm going to get out of this game, and I'm going to jump off a building. I'm not going to take a pill to just stop this functioning body. I'm going to jump off a building. That was like the most shocking news of the year, and that was in January. Chesley came in on April 28, 1991. She left January 30th, 2022. 30 years. And that's the similarity between Chesley and Vincent, who we're going to honor today. We're going to honor Vincent Tangredi. He was the most beautiful soul. Oh, my God, a heart of gold, heart of gold. Beauty on the outside and in. But the whole key is that these two people did not, in my opinion, did not have emotional intelligence. So what is emotional intelligence? Let's just start there. I had an audio I played on Sunday to bring us into a better definition and understanding about emotional intelligence, because we want to develop emotional intelligence. We don't want to get out of the game like Chesley or Vincent. And we don't know how Vincent left, really, because I'm going to read something that his family put in his obituary. And Chesley, we know all about Chesley. Jumping off a building, you make a big statement about jumping off a building, how you going to leave here. But Vincent, we've got some questions. We don't know. But we're going to honor him today because Ecclesiastes tells us we are to celebrate when people leave. It is better to honor the day of death than the birth. That's what the scripture tells us. That's crazy for somebody. People just not going to accept that, Ecclesiastes. The day of your death is better than the day of your birth. Ha! Not for a mother who's grieving the suicide of her son. No, that's not, they're not going to take that. But we today, let's consider it that the Bible, the scripture, the wisdom of the scripture says the day of the death is better because how? The living take it to heart. We're going to take Chesley and Vincent's departure to heart and look at it as lessons for us students that remain. Chesley, Vincent, you are now teachers. We are in class today to learn about your life and about emotional intelligence that I don't think you guys mastered that, but you mastered a lot of other things like modeling. Both of them were professional models. At 30 years old, these two amazing souls said, I'm out of this game. Bye-bye. And then we're left like, what? How could you do this to us? How could you leave us in such pain? Oh, my goodness. But let's talk about emotional intelligence. Let's see what that's all about.
Emotional intelligence refers to the ability to recognize, interpret, and process emotions in yourself and others. While genetics, upbringing, and environment all play a role, there are steps you can take to develop your emotional intelligence over time. Get to know yourself. Emotionally intelligent people are self-aware. They have a realistic appreciation of their strengths and weaknesses and how they come across to others. Peer feedback is one way of improving your self-awareness and may uncover a few of your emotional blind spots. Learn your triggers. Linked to the notion of self-awareness is knowing how you are likely to respond in particular situations. Think about how you felt the last time you were under pressure. Did these feelings help or hinder you? Recognizing emotions and the source of these emotions can shift your emotional state. Empathize. Seeing things from someone else's perspective will help you understand their values and beliefs. This is important when it comes to motivating and engaging others. Make a conscious effort to get to know your colleagues. Ask open questions and actively listen to what they have to say, rather than simply waiting for your turn to speak. Be on the lookout for body language and other non-verbal signs, as these may tell you more than someone is willing to express out loud. Own your emotions. Part of being emotionally intelligent is about taking responsibility for the way you interact with others. If someone upsets you, pause and reflect on why their actions led you to feel this way, instead of reacting impulsively. Recognize that a conversation is a two-way interaction, and it takes two people to make you angry, sad, or frustrated. Go with your gut. Finally, listen to your body. If your stomach starts doing backflips every time you speak to a senior manager, or your muscles tense up before you go into a meeting, what does this tell you? Counterintuitive as it might seem, emotions can be a valuable source of information when making rational decisions at work. Remember, emotional intelligence isn't about suppressing emotions. It's about learning how to recognize, process, and channel them in a way that benefits you and your team. Enhancing your emotional intelligence requires effort, but it can be achieved with sustained practice.
Thank you, Chesley Christ, for your lessons today. Powerful, powerful lesson. Chesley Christ, this drop-dead gorgeous human soul. She was a soul in this drop-dead gorgeous body. Oh, my goodness. Hair, gorgeous hair from a biracial union. And she had a very successful career, modeling, made it to Miss America, and she said, I'm out of here, at 30. And this is the essay she wrote. She wrote in an essay about a year before her suicide that turning 30 feels like a cold reminder that I'm running out of time to matter in society's eyes, and it's infuriating. Oh, my goodness. Deep breath. I can get through this. 30-year-old is at the top of her career, modeling, beauty, gorgeous job. She was in a $5,000 a month apartment in New York City and probably easily affording it. She probably wasn't struggling at all because Miss America gets lots of endorsements, money coming in. But she felt like a cold reminder. So these are emotions. We're looking at Chesley. Chesley, thank you so much, Chesley. We honor Chesley. You're teaching us about infuriation or frustration. I did a yoga class Wednesday about tapping out frustration. Because we get into this emotion, I would say models especially who have huge egos, they get frustrated because their egos are so big and they have a hard time managing that ego with all the money, I guess. But in her case, 30 years old was her time to say, I'm out of here. So being a model, we know, brings about a big ego. So I've got a testimony from a model. Because my other soul, beautiful soul that we're honoring today, Vincent, was also a model, a very successful model. If you were to Google his name, lots and lots of pictures come up of this beautiful soul in every country you could imagine, with beautiful women. Oh, my goodness. You see, we have people who envy these types of lifestyles. And yet these two souls said, it's time for me to teach everybody a lesson about ego and emotional intelligence. That's our lesson today. So we're all in class today, me included, to learn about modeling and what that brings into the psyche of those who have modeling as a career. So we want to listen to a model's testimony, and then we're going to go to the break after that. But I think this is so key to understand the psyche of Chesley and Vincent, who we're honoring today, their memories, their life, and their lessons for us. Listen to this. Oh, I'm going to bring it up on my screen, actually, on Facebook, because she points out some interesting things about being a model. Okay, so let me see if I can manage this and get this going here. This is about She says, looks aren't everything, but...
Hi, my name is Cameron Russell. And for the last little while, I've been a model, actually for 10 years. And I feel like there's an uncomfortable tension in the room right now because I should not have worn this dress. So luckily, I brought an outfit change. This is the first outfit change on the TED stage. So you guys are pretty lucky to witness it, I think. If some of the women were really horrified when I came out, you don't have to tell me now, but I'll find out later on Twitter. I'd also note that I'm quite privileged to be able to transform what you think of me in a very brief 10 seconds. Not everybody gets to do that. These heels are very uncomfortable, so good thing I wasn't going to wear them. The worst part is putting this sweater over my head because that's when you'll laugh at me, so don't do anything while it's over my head. All right. So why did I do that? That was awkward. hopefully not as awkward as that picture. Image is powerful, but also image is superficial. I just totally transformed what you thought of me in 6 seconds. And in this picture, I had actually never had a boyfriend in real life. I was totally uncomfortable, and the photographer was telling me to arch my back and put my hand in that guy's hair. And of course, barring surgery or the fake tan that I got 2 days ago for work, there's very little that we can do to transform how we look. And how we look, though it is superficial and immutable, has a huge impact on our lives. So today, for me, being fearless means being honest. And I am on this stage because I'm a model. I'm on this stage because I'm a pretty white woman. In my industry, we call that a sexy girl. And I'm going to answer the questions that people always ask me, but with an honest twist. So the first question is, how do you become a model? And I always just say, I was scouted, but that means nothing. The real way that I became a model is I won a genetic lottery, and I'm the recipient of a legacy. And maybe you're wondering, what is a legacy? Well, for the past few centuries, we have defined beauty not just as health and youth and symmetry that we're biologically programmed to admire, but also as tall, slender figures and femininity and white skin. And this is a legacy that was built for me, and it's a legacy that I've been cashing out on. And I know there are people in the audience who are skeptical at this point. And maybe there are some fashionistas who are like, wait, Naomi, Tyra, Joan Smalls, Lou Wen. And first, I commend you on your model knowledge. Very impressive. But unfortunately, I have to inform you that in 2007, a very inspired NYU PhD student counted all the models on the runway, every single one that was hired. And of the 677 models that were hired, only 27, or less than 4%, were non-white. The next question people always ask me is, can I be a model when I grow up? And the first answer is, I don't know. They don't put me in charge of that. but the second answer, and what I really want to say to these little girls, is why? You know, you can be anything. You could be the president of the United States or the inventor of the next internet or a ninja cardiothoracic surgeon poet, which would be awesome because you'd be the first one. if after this amazing list, they still are like, no, no, Cameron, I want to be a model. Well, then I say, be my boss, because I'm not in charge of anything, and you could be the editor-in-chief of American Vogue or the CEO of H&M or the next Steven Meisel. Saying that you want to be a model when you grow up is akin to saying that you want to win the Powerball when you grow up. It's, you know, out of your control, and it's awesome, and it's not a career path. I will demonstrate for you now 10 years of accumulated model knowledge, because unlike cardiothoracic surgeons, it can just be distilled right into right now. So if the photographer is right there and the light is right there, like a nice HMI, and the client says, Cameron, we want a walking shot. Well, then this leg goes first, nice and long. This arm goes back. This arm goes forward. The head is at the supporter, and you just go back and forth to see that. And then you look back at your imaginary friends 300, 400, 500 times. It will look something like this. Hopefully less awkward than that one in the middle. That was, I don't know what happened there. Unfortunately, after you've gone to school and you have a resume and you've done a few jobs, you can't say anything anymore. So if you say you want to be the president of the United States, but your resume reads underwear model 10 years, people give you a funny look. The next question people always ask me is, do they retouch all the photos? And yeah, they pretty much retouch all the photos, but that is only a small component of what's happening. This picture is the very first picture that I ever took, and it's also the very first time that I had worn a bikini. And I didn't even have my period yet. I know we're getting personal, but you know, I was a young girl. This is what I looked like with my grandma just a few months earlier. Here's me on the same day as this shoot, my friend got to come with me. Here's me at a slumber party a few days before I shot French Vogue. Here's me on the soccer team and in V Magazine. And here's me today. And I hope what you're seeing is that these pictures are not pictures of me. They are constructions. And they are constructions by professionals, by hairstylists and makeup artists and photographers and stylists and all of their assistants and pre-production and post-production. And they build this. That's not me. Okay, so the next question people always ask me is, do you get free stuff? I do have too many 8-inch shields, which I never get to wear, except for earlier. But the free stuff that I get is the free stuff that I get in real life, and that's what we don't like to talk about. I grew up in Cambridge, and one time I went into a store and I forgot my money and they gave me the dress for free. When I was a teenager, I was driving with my friend who was an awful driver, and she ran a red, and of course, we got pulled over. And all it took was a sorry, officer, and we were on our way. And I got these free things because of how I look, not who I am. And there are people paying a cost for how they look and not who they are. I live in New York. And last year, of the 140,000 teenagers that were stop and frisk, 86% of them were Black and Latino, and most of them were young men. And there are only 177,000 young Black and Latino men in New York. So for them, it's not a question of will I get stopped, but how many times will I get stopped? When will I get stopped? When I was researching this talk, I found out that of the 13-year-old girls in the United States, 53% don't like their bodies. And that number goes to 78% by the time that they're 17. So the last question people ask me is, you know, what is it like to be a model? And I think the answer that they're looking for is, if you are a little bit skinnier and you have shinier hair, you will be so happy and fabulous. And when we're backstage, we give an answer that maybe makes it seem like that. We say, it's really amazing to travel, and it's amazing to get to work with creative, inspired, passionate people. And those things are true, but they're only one half of the story, because the thing that we never say on camera, that I have never said on camera, is I am insecure. And I'm insecure because I have to think about what I look like every day. And if you ever are wondering, you know, if I have thinner thighs and shinier hair, will I be happier? You just need to meet a group of models, because they have the thinnest thighs and the shiniest hair and the coolest clothes, and they're the most physically insecure women probably on the planet. So when I was writing this talk, I found it very difficult to strike an honest balance, because on the one hand, I felt very uncomfortable to come out here and say, look, I've received all these benefits from a deck stacked in my favor. And it also felt really uncomfortable to follow that up with, and it doesn't always make me happy. But mostly it was difficult to unpack a legacy of gender and racial oppression when I'm one of the biggest beneficiaries. But I'm also happy and honored to be up here, and I think that it's great I got to come, you know, before 10 or 20 or 30 years had passed and I'd had more agency in my career, because maybe then I wouldn't tell the story of how I got my first job, or maybe I wouldn't tell the story of how I paid for college, which seems so important right now. If there's a takeaway to this talk, I hope it's that we all feel more comfortable acknowledging the power of image in our perceived successes and our perceived failures. Okay, thank you.
All right. Let's let that sink in as we go to the break. Powerful testimony about being insecure when you're making all that money and you're beautiful and you have all those privileges, especially if you're white with skinny legs and beautiful hair and all that. But this is the legacy of our two honored guests today, these souls called Chesley and Vincent. We honor them today. to help us come out of the false images that many portray, and then feeling so insecure and so depressed and sad that they end their journey at 30 years old. We're taking it to heart today to learn lessons from these two amazing souls that I had a chance to put in my mind. All week I was thinking about Vincent and his beauty. I only met this young man a couple of times, but it was like one of those wow moments. You are amazing. So we're honoring him today by being students. And that young lady who just spoke is the best one of the best teachers to help us understand the professional career of modeling, where you put out this superficial image. And as Chesley unfortunately said, she felt cold, reminding her 30 feels like running out of time to matter in society's eyes, and it's frustrating, infuriating. So we're gonna talk about infuriating emotions versus love for self purpose. Why am I here? That's the key to emotional intelligence, recognizing that we're infuriated about our beautiful modeling career, and then interpreting what does that mean, that I need society's approval. Well, you've been a model. That's all you've been living for is society's approval. How's my hair? How's my makeup? How's my eyes? This is the lesson we have today from these two beautiful souls whose career they chose, at least partly. Vincent drifted off into some exciting things like DJ, being a DJ, and boxing. And that's why he was so loved and appreciated, because he had such a diverse, beautiful, bubbly personality. So anyway, let me go to the break. As Mama AZ would say, put that in your pipe, smoke on it, chew on it, get high, and we'll come back with some more lessons from Chesley and Vincent. We honor them today.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com. www.globalpeacemovement.com.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Back. Thank you for joining me this week. If you have a comment or question, press 1 if you're in the studio. And especially those who might be listening who knew Vincent, if you have a comment or a question, please call in and share your comment, your stories about this beautiful soul. I mean, just beautiful. And we are honoring him because we miss him. He was just so special. Especially in the yoga community, because on my flyer I put a picture of him in this beautiful, quiet, meditative pose on the platform at the Kundalini Yoga Center. So we're honoring Vincent because he made a big, big difference in the lives of so many people. And just as I read in Chesley's words about how hitting 30 was really hard for her because somehow she felt like society was going to put her down and she wasn't going to matter anymore after 30. Oh my goodness. Emotional intelligence. But if you're in that place where you write essays like that, we're here to help you develop emotional intelligence that says, recognize when you're depressed, first of all. You may not want to go get a pill for that, because what that does is put a lot of people in suicide. Because that's the side effect. If you research all the antidepressants that have been prescribed to people, every single one of them, I did the research, every single one of antidepressants on the market have suicide as a side effect. So you're taking a great risk. Analyze the risk if you go there. And that's what Chesley didn't do, because she actually admitted she was in, I think, maybe a year before she passed or a few months before she jumped off the building. She was in the hospital for 8 days for depression. So guess what they do in hospitals? They give you drugs. They don't give you carrot juice and beet juice. They give you drugs. So that's the choice, the risk we take when we look for help in a hospital setting, is that they're going to administer pharma drugs, not juice, carrot juice, or helpful music, or support in a different way. It's drugs. So I'm of the opinion that Chesley was influenced by a pharmaceutical to jump off a building. But we thank you, Chesley, for your message. At 30, you got out of the game. It's your choice. Now we're here to learn. You don't have anything else to learn, Chesley. You're just the teacher for us. We're going to learn all the lessons we need to learn this morning about Chesley and Vincent. Now, Vincent, on the other hand, there's a lot of mystery around Vincent's departure, his adios for us, because the family we don't know exactly how he left, but we have some clues. Here's an obituary for Vincent Tangredi, who we're talking about today, honoring today. And in the obituary that's posted all on the internet, it says, in lieu of flowers, the family kindly requests donations in memory of Vincent may be made to, quote, National Alliance on Mental Illness. What? Nobody even thought that there was any mental illness around this person. And then the second organization that they recommend donations, they kindly request that donations be made to the JED Foundation or American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Now, these are the words that were put on Vincent's obituary. So we're all kind of assuming that his exit out of here or his way of leaving the game was suicide. We don't know for sure, but we honor you, Vincent, for leaving us with this question mark, because this man was so amazing. It's really hard to believe, but that's what the only clue that was given to us was from the obituary. No, most of the friends have not heard directly from the family, if that was the case. But we do know that Vincent was very depressed and distraught because a friend, his close friend, committed suicide 2 weeks, I think, before he left. Close friend, very, very close friend. And he did express some deep grief about his friend leaving the planet before him. And then next we hear some weeks later after his departure that he decided to leave too. So before I go to the phones, I just want to play a little piece on mental illness, because why would the family put on an obituary other than, I think, to bring our attention to the possibility that Vincent was struggling. And as you saw in that model's testimony, of course they're struggling. They have this illusion, this false image that they're putting on, and they're very insecure, and they have big egos as models. So yeah, a struggle, especially when you decide, oh, I want to do some DJing, and I want to do I want to go into boxing. I'm interested in boxing. Then judgment hits you. Judgment, judgment, judgment. And if you come from any of those religious backgrounds where they love to shame and blame and judge, then you really can get some mental illness, because as Dr. Bruce Lipton explains in an audio I might play, your first 7 years of your life are all the recordings you're playing in your adult life. So if you grew up in a religious community, religious household, you're shaming, blaming, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. Guess what? When you start doing modeling and when you start people are going to shame, shame, blame, blame, blame. Ah! Those are red flags for the developing emotional intelligence. Recognize, first step, recognize the shame, blame, guilt, low, low, low frequency from religious people. Process that shame, shame. Is it the universe? Is it the shame, shame, shame? No. People pointing their finger at you. You should be yourself. You should be ashamed. Recognize that it's the first step to develop emotional intelligence. Emotions that come from ignorant, unconscious people. They may mean well when you your role. Let me put that out there in my softest way. Stop shaming and blaming people, because it's not your role. People grow up sometimes shame, blame, guilt so heavy on them that the rest of their life they're alcoholics. So we have to stop contributing to the shame and blaming and be free enough to honor people who choose a different lifestyle than the religious minds out there and the society that Chelsley was so concerned about their opinions of her. So we honor you, Vincent. We honor you, Chelsley, for choosing careers that are teaching us today. Careers that glorify their bodies, their beauty, their creativity. And now we are students. We can learn how to be more intelligent in our emotions by recognizing these low, low, low frequency energies. In fact, toxic energies of shame, blame, guilt, fear, and reinterpreting them in a way that honors your beautiful soul self journey that is meant to glorify the creator in you, and nobody knows what your assignment is. And so then we process the assignment that we have. As Mama Joy said yesterday, knowing your soul purpose is the key to heaven. Why are you here? Who are you here to influence? It certainly isn't to influence the religious minds and the ego minds that are trying to control you. So we're coming out of this shame, blame, guilt, and we're going into freedom. Freedom. I should play John Batiste's Freedom song, but they would mute me for that. So let me go to the phone. Do want to hear from you about this topic. We're talking about, let's keep the topic, please, because we're honoring. Vincent has been speaking to me all week. His soul has been speaking, and maybe Chesley too. These voices are coming to me with love. And they're saying, honor emotional intelligence today. Honor freedom of the soul today to do what you came here to do, to be your authentic self today, to be your authentic self. Don't let anybody tell you you can't be your authentic self. That's where the confusion comes and the thoughts that I'm out of this game. I don't want to be here, because people put these thoughts in your head and your psyche that you're worthy, that you're not enough, when everything you do on this planet is perfect. So let's go to the phones. 312-721. Thank you for joining us. And what are your thoughts on emotional intelligence today?
Good morning, Beata Grand Rising. This is Naima. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. I hope my voice is okay. I'm out here in the garden. Is the reception okay? Can you hear me?
We can hear you very loud and clear. Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. So I was listening to what you said about those who model and the low self-esteem. You know, when I first met my husband, he was a clothing designer, and he worked with models, and so he had this whole wardrobe of clothing that he gifted to me when we got married. You know, they were expressions of his creativity. But, you know, the way when he explained why he got out of the business, he found that the women who tended to get into modeling were very vain, like to show off their bodies, and, you know, just the atmosphere of that business he felt was, you know, not elevating to one's consciousness, so to speak, very much focused on physical beauty and, you know, over-sexuality and all that, over-sexualizing people. And so, you know, my opinion of models tended to be, I kind of looked down on them as airheaded and, you know, not too bright, didn't have enough intelligence to do something other than put on clothes and pose. You know, so I kind of was a bit disdainful of models. And then as my daughter grew up, that show America's Top Model, she loved that show, loved Tyra Banks' show, and she just followed it. And her cousin, both of them, you know, tall, slender women, they had tried out for this modeling thing when America's Top Model came to Chicago. And she got selected, and she was considering going to, I think it was L.A., she would have had to go to for some kind of final thing. And she was kind of back and forth. Should I go? Should I not go? If I go, I got to blow my finals. I don't want to do that. So she asked me, and I said, well, I'm going to make you make this decision, because if I tell you, then you might be thinking the rest of your life, oh, I could have had a great modeling career. So anyway, she ended up not going. And I was grateful, because she, you know, I wanted her to focus on her intellect, but I understood that she also liked the idea of modeling. But she finally decided, well, no, I think I'd rather wait and model later on.
Okay, good.
Again, I didn't think too much of modeling. And she did it when she went overseas. She ended up modeling in various places, various clothing, and they model everything. I mean, everything from hair designs to hand, you know, manicures to, you know, feet. I mean, every part of the body, everything, accessories. And, I mean, it's basically, it's the business of selling clothing and accessories. So, but I still didn't think too much of modeling. And then I had an opportunity a couple of times to work with one of the, you know, the designers here in Chicago that he was doing a show and asked me to model. At first I'd seen some of the shows that one of our friends had modeled. And then, so then I agreed to be in one of his shows. Matter of fact, I think he's been on our program before. Quentin D. Alexander. Matter of fact, he's got, you know, gowns and everything hanging up in some of the big hotels. So anyway, I thought, oh, this might be fun. But then, you know, as we went through the process of preparing for the show and got our makeup done and nails and hair and all of that, you know, we had a hair designer that did all the models' hair, and then, you know, we had to practice the walk and all of this sort of thing, a whole routine we had to do. So I thought, you know, this is really a lot of work, and it's really more than just putting on clothes and posing. What you're doing, you are selling the products of all of those that you represent. You know, you're selling the hair designer's hair designs. You're selling the accessories of the jeweler. You're selling the clothing. So you're really kind of like a walking mannequin. But there is an art to it. And one thing I developed, I guess, from that experience was respect for the modeling industry. If you look at it the right way, if you look at it as what you're doing, you're a live representation of someone's creativity, you know, either the clothing, the accessories, the hairstyling, whatever it is, you are presenting it to people so that they can purchase whatever it is you're selling with your body. And it's an art. But if you think that that is all that you are, that you, if you think that your worth is only as good as you look, then you're going to have some self-esteem problems. So I think there's a way to respect the industry for what it does, which is, you know, generate sales like any other advertising and marketing means does. But the person has to know who they are. They have to already value themselves for the totality of who they are. The mistake that we make, not having the emotional intelligence, is to realize that what we're doing is marketing other people's creative design. But who we are as a person is more than that. We're more than how we look. We're more than someone's idea of beauty. We have to know who we are. We have to value who we are first and foremost. And I think that happens in childhood. You know, we've always said that all your wounds happen in childhood. If your parents only value people who look a certain way, or your society only values you if you look a certain way, and you don't have people to reinforce that you are valuable for all that you are, for who you are, and that however you look is perfect, if you don't have that message given to you and ingrained in you, and you go into an industry like modeling, you can become very shallow and very focused on the outer appearance as a representation of your worth or lack of worth, if that's how you've been conditioned to think. But if you know who you are and you have all these other things in yourself that you've developed, even if you get into a career in modeling, you understand that what you do is your marketing piece. But that's not all your worth is as a person. That's what you do as a career. And there's a difference. Now, one thing my daughter learned in her modeling experience.
We're having a commercial break. We're going to take a commercial break. Thank you, Naima, for sharing that. That's so powerful because you have experience. Now, so I'm Vincent teaching us now why the game and talk about so that. And we now, those of us who have been in this thing longer, we can learn from these what they have been through and why they got out of the game. That's what I see now. After Mama Joy's message yesterday, like, they got out of the game. This has been a hell of a game. Twilight Zone, jab, jab, jab. Now it's booster, booster, booster. And then maybe they were boosted and jabbed because being in that section, even tennis players were asking them to be jabbed and boosted. So hell, I don't blame anybody getting out of this game. It's just not for everybody. But we'll be right back and talk about the game. And we got several callers to go to. We're going to come back to you and who are next when we get back from the commercials.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Much for joining me for this very, very important topic, emotional intelligence. And we're honoring two souls that are teaching us some powerful lessons about leaving the game early at 30 years old. Both of these models, beautiful, beautiful people, left at 30 years old. And those of us who are in our 60s, maybe 70s, we didn't have the Twilight Zone episode the last 3 years, and we didn't have the jab propaganda and the crazy, crazy pharma insanity, mafia energy. So these are really good times. This year, whoever's committing good job, we have to process it. And that's what emotional intelligence, getting to a place of I have a divine purpose here. I'm not going to leave this game because I know who I am. I know I need to be here, and I'm going to stick to it because I know who I am. I know, but modeling, as you heard, it distorts all that. You think you're the image of somebody's product, and you think you're all that and a piece of bread, whatever, and so you get confused in that industry. Along with other, I'm sure, but that in particular, that game is hard to play and keep up, that image of what we call being super and driving and insecurity and ego. It's funny how she mentioned black folks and people of brown skin, how they're treated in that industry. And my sons always say they're DWB. When they're in the car, they're DWB. I'm like, what D that? Driving while black. And she said she got stopped, and the police are, oh, hi, ladies. Go have a nice day. But when you got dark skin, my one son has really dark skin. He says DWB. So he's very conscious of the DWB driving while black. I think that's kind of funny. But before I go to the phones, I got to share what I read this morning. This is such beautiful wisdom about what we're talking about. It's from my book, The Promise of a New Day. It says, the history of human life is the history of each person's journey from birth to death. They call it the dash, right? And it says, when we study history, we're always reading someone's interpretation or argument. The total history could never argue a point or prove an interpretation. We each can tell many true stories about ourselves by selecting facts from our personal history. We're selecting some facts about Chesley and Vincent today. Yet our total history will cancel these stories and show us to be neither saints nor villains, merely seekers. There's much we can learn from other stories. That's what we're here to do today. They can illuminate our path. They can persuade us of the wisdom of one choice or another. Yet, to be fully human is to escape the neat outlines of such a story. We immerse ourselves in life. We are surrounded by it. And then a final word, I will try to respect everyone's reality and to remember that much of the world lies outside my range of vision. Hallelujah. I just love that, to put everything into perspective. Let me go to the phones and get your thoughts. 312-802, your mic is open. Welcome to Health and Wellbeing with Viata. What's your thoughts on emotional intelligence today?
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual mental health professional. And in my studies as a student of metaphysics, the first class we had was Lessons in Truth. And in that first paragraph, it says, the first thing that we deal with is forgetfulness. We forget from where we come, from the spirit-soul realm. And I agree. I'm working on my book now. My personal experience as a soul who came into this world with tremendous life experience memory, I know for myself that there is another side to the human existence. As you just said, once people know who is that they are inside of the body container, then that is the spirit energy from the source, different names, and the soul, which is the personalities that we incarnate. And being part of that before I came here, I was, as they say, not a ghost, but I was consciousness and I was awareness. The struggle I had, like Nima said, when you're a child coming in fresh from the other side, for myself in particular, I was told I was peculiar. They would talk about me. Because I came in with this tremendous, not only mental, intellectual brilliancy, but also with the spiritual awareness. So I say to you, with this gentleman who was yoga, that creativity is part of what we come into the world, bringing all of these different things that they teach in traditional religion, the gifts of the spirit, love, peace, all these things. But that actual creativity that comes through the Holy Spirit, I will say, or the divine mind in metaphysics, where you get a thought and an idea. People have invented inventions, and they haven't lived anywhere near each other, countries apart. So it's out there in our spirit soul consciousness. So once we know, and once I, when I went through my clinical depression, feeling alone and lost in this world I've come into, the pain and suffering. And I reached out to put myself in the hospital. And this voice loud and clear said to me, hang up the phone. Therefore, some women who barely had eighth grade education, very strong spiritual women from Mississippi and Alabama, in our culture, those of us who come from that African they were spiritual mental health professionals. They called them spiritual readers. Mother's church houses would be covered with people. We've forgotten about that. I'm educated too in psychology and sociology, but we have lost sight of the essence of dealing with our human mind mentality. That's why you have all of this that has been going on with Diane, who was talking about how shallow the models can be. When we live life and not know who we truly are as spirit soul beings, because religion is not going to teach us our individualized spiritual power. I'm out here working one-on-one in the public, privately sharing the information. It's not meant as I'm thinking more and more as I meditate for myself that I be a motivational speaker on stage of thousands of people. Spirit said to me, and I call them ascended masters because Mom AZ gave me that honor to be able to say ascended masters. They do exist on the other side versus saying angels, but they have made me aware that I am to do public, private readings and one-on-ones with people. Therefore, because the world cannot deal with the truth of the spirit realm. It has taken hundreds and hundreds of years, starting with the Catholic Church, no bishops that decided when they had that enclave that they were going to teach people the way they wanted them to learn about Jesus. Jesus is saying he is not in the world, he's up, he's not of the world, he's in the world. We are too. Jesus is saying we all have the individualized spiritual power, but they didn't want to write that out there like that. But we others, our church, left that first enclave because they didn't want to talk about the supernatural things that Jesus was teaching.
Right. So, Minister Cynthia, we got a lot of callers that want to speak. So I so love that you brought that up about religion and the Catholic Church, because if you were raised in the Catholic Church, you're probably confused at this point if you haven't washed all that religious practice out of you, because that was a bunch of deception, egomania. And thank you, Minister Cynthia. I'm going to go to the next caller. And we want everybody to go to Minister Cynthia's Facebook page, Minister Cynthia Williams, and donate to the celebration ceremony that she's putting together for her husband who escaped not too long ago. I'm going to say escape out of this mess. We loved him, but he escaped. And that's the reality, is that divine purpose kicks in and people choose to escape. What do we learn from this? This is what we're here to do, is learn the lesson. So we want to go to, but the Catholic Church messed up a lot of people, not just the sexual abuse that's out there everywhere, from documentaries to testimonies. Alcoholics came out of that church because they couldn't deal with the sexual abuse, for one. And now we got the Roman Catholic Church still doing crazy shit. But that Catholic religion, and I have a feeling that's what one of our honorees today, they probably were brought up in. And you try and be your creative audience after 7 years of Catholic program. Out of here, leaving this game. All right, let's go to the next caller. 111. Mic is open. Thank you for joining us. What's your comment on emotional intelligence?
Hallelujah, greetings. Grand rising.
Greetings. What's your comment? Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of a sad story. You know, when you think about that, you think of a position as a model, it's usually a pretty good a job that makes a good living in spite of it seemingly being vain. But sometimes when you think about something that happens like that to two people, it had me wondering, was that some type of suicide pact? Like, once one person just decides, I don't want to live anymore, and they give up, does the other person just decide, well, life isn't worth it? But you know, that's interesting, because when you get down to it, it really is the way life rolls out for you. When things happen, they sometimes can seem like they're the worst thing that ever happened to you. And I have a model that I believe, make the best of whatever happens. So when something happens to you, instead of being distraught and upset and mad, it means time to make a new plan. You don't have to be daunted because of that, but sometimes it's difficult to get moral support from people. I think that's one of the reasons why that happens to somebody where they commit suicide. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, I have a friend, and he was the most successful of all of us in college and otherwise. And that, and he may get so big until he was over a county hospital and all of this type of stuff. And I met him. I had met him again after we had gotten out of college and were successful. And he was a wonderful guy and very helpful. But I saw him one day as he was getting ahead, and I couldn't stop long enough to talk to him. And within a week, like I had heard, he had committed suicide. He shot himself in the head. Well, all that success he's got, a brand new Lexus and all this stuff, why did he resort to suicide? Success is an interesting proposition because all of the things that entails a lot of money and all that can sometimes be overwhelming for an individual, especially when it makes them feel like they're like living a double life. They're like being a certain way because they're in front of the crowd and they're the big boss, but in underneath it, they're just crumbling. And emotionally, they're crumbling because they're like playing a part and not really even being content with it. It's almost like going to work every day. One more thing. There was one other thing I was just going to say was another guy I knew. He used to go to work every day, and he would throw up before he went to work 5 days a week. He was so disgusted about the job that he had. And then after he retired from that job, he died there shortly after. The fact that you would have to go to work every day and vomit, gosh, we really have to get our emotions together. So lastly, I hope people can be a light in other people's lives. Support somebody. Listen to them. Try to help somebody think that there's another option in their life and that there's something good about them. Look for the best in people instead of this competitive tradition that's always knocking you for how you look. You're dark skin, yeah. You got a big nose, or you're all these other things. But I sure appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love what he said. We are living a double life. We're all living a double life until we are authentic self, authenticity, authentic self. And be a career like modeling is great. You usually don't have a chance to be your authentic self because you're putting on this image that people want and that you're selling for the product. So today we want to try and develop authenticity no matter where you are. If you get thrown out of a toxic relationship for some reason, take advantage of that and develop authenticity now in your life. Be honest with yourself. Be honest. You're the out of situations because we don't need to be in them, but we stay in them for various narcissistic reasons. Ego, ego, ego. Let's just bring the ego in check today. And bring in the spiritual evolution today of who you are authentically and just do it. Whether you're DJ, whether you're wrestling, as Vincent, whether you're a yogi, do it with all your heart and push away the comments judging you with blame, shame. The one first thing to recognize, I would say, when people are judging you with shame, blame, and guilt, put up the hand and say, talk to the hand, because I'm not hearing you. 312-71, your mic is open. Thanks for joining us.
Weyon Yashalom, Ahua, we don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful, Dr. V, and so is the female solution to me. This is Minister Plump, Robert Floyd Plump from Chicago, Illinois. And you know, first of all, I will never be suicidal because it is a way of life in my own self, emotional intelligence. I have discovered the most important person that is living, and that is myself. And it's also every opportunity for someone to discover the most important person that is living. How did I do that? Because I come to the first and last conclusion of God's will only. And that is the sole purpose of any and all human beings. And it's in my name, Plump. Plump is capital P-L-U-M-P, peace, love, unity, marketing people. And we are marketing the female solution because it is a radio and TV station that is 23. I remember Mayor Harold Lee Washington said, we must plump the whole community. So we are plumping it up and peace, love, and unity, marketing people. And the best way I found my, as they say, serenity is promoting my music in freedom, justice, equality, and economics, and promoting unity in the community. Everybody can help stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing in themselves. See, when you commit suicide, you are going against God. And so we got a principle. A principle is black code, black power, 277+23 equals black power. Black power without the gun. Black power without the violence. King 23, this is an acronym for me. Together, everyone achieves more. The key word is together. Everyone achieves much. Together, everyone achieves money. Together, okay. Everyone achieves, yes, ma'am. Let me just finish the team. Team 23. Together, everyone achieves millions. Together, everyone achieves miracles, and all miracles come from God. Everybody that's living, God had to say yes, he can, and then we must say yes, we can, and love God because God first loved us in the person of Yahshua, who most know as Jesus Christ, and he is the head of my life, and I'm so thankful that he is a black man.
Minister Plum, sure. I love you so much. You always bring such optimism and positivity. But I have to disagree with you about one thing. You said suicide is against God. I don't think that's true. Listen, right now we are all sitting here as students of two people who ended their journey on earth. That's not against the Creator. The Creator brings us all kinds of lessons to learn how to live in love and truth and honor the Creator's gift. Now, if someone chooses to gain, that's a lesson from the Most High. We're sitting. Remember, it doesn't really matter how we leave this game. That we nobody, in my opinion, it's a religious thought that if you commit suicide, oh, you're in hell. No, you're gonna get. Here's what you're gonna get. This is for you, Minister Plump, and all those people who leave this planet to give us a lesson.
Thank you.
My good and faithful servant. Because innocent and those who touch so many lives in such a powerful way that we cannot dishonor them by saying, you committed suicide. Oh, you went against God. No, you did your perfect it ended is the number of divine order, divine perfection. Three is the number of divine perfection. When both of them left at three, they were saying, I finished my assignment. I taught what I needed to talk. My lesson continues. They don't have to be students anymore. They're teachers because we can spend many, many days and weeks learning the lessons from their life. So it's not way doesn't accept death with the lesson. How do we prevent suicide? That's kind of part of the lesson. Then how do we develop emotion intelligence to family wanted us to do is contribute to these organizations that teach out mental illness and suicide prevention. So that's what we're doing. No shame. They are teachers. They did a perfect job of teaching us about modeling and ego, insecurity. We all need to learn this lesson. We love you, Minister Plum. I'm going to go to the next caller. Thank you so much for contributing today because I always love to hear from Minister Plum. He's so positive, so optimistic. And we got another caller here. I believe this is Kwame Sunhor. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Grand Rising, Sister Viata. And thank you.
Grand Rising.
To the audience, and you know, this is a very powerful subject, because the thing of it is that we have to look at our lives and what we do with our life. Because yesterday my son's daughter was born, and he sent pictures of it, and I was looking at her. And she's an empty canvas. And what the art of life will show her is what is going to be painted in her heart. And this is what each of us has the opportunity and how we paint it. Because a model is nothing but an empty canvas that people in the business of selling wares and selling beauty uses that body as a canvas to paint the image that they want others to see. And so what we have is, how does the person see themselves? And if they see themselves as not as that beauty and their heart, because in the word heart is the word art, how did they learn to design themselves? How did they learn to color themselves to the color of life? The creator paints a glorious picture. You will never in your life see ever two sunsets the same, because the creator designed his earth and his ability to make it to where we will never see two sunsets the same. And the part where I think on saying suicide is that the creator gives life, and you decide to say, I want to tear up this picture, I'm going to throw it off the roof, I'm going to get rid of this picture, I'm going to blow out the brains that grew the body and that, then you're taking your life, the art of what creator is, the canvas that creator has given you, and you say, well, I'm going to just take this because I don't want to do this anymore. You're telling the creator, I don't want to be what you allowed me to have life and breath for. So in essence is that they say suicide is not forgiven because you can't ask the creator to forgive you for what he gave you. You can't ask the creator to forgive you for what he gave you. Creator gives life, creator takes life. And so how do we as humans who's been given life decide to say, I don't want what God has given me, so I'm taking it and I'm destroying it? And what does that do to all the other people's hearts that have come to love you? We have to understand that's a very selfish thing, even though, yes, you've gone through emotional traumas, but we have to be mindful. You know, 6 or 7 men will kill themselves today. 80% of suicides in our black community is done by elder men. And the thing that we have to look at is, what is causing this? What are the things that are in our environment that make someone decide that what God has given you, breath and a heartbeat to use to go through life, you decide that you want to take it and destroy it? So we have to look at, what do we as a people have to contribute to people deciding that they don't want to use what God gave them anymore?
Okay, that's a beautiful on what you have experienced. I don't totally agree, though. Let me just say this. Every soul, we're on a soul journey. Let's understand, let's all of us overstand this soul journey. I think the reason, like, my sister got so attached to her daughter because she got attached to her physical third dimension daughter that she birthed. And when her daughter was hit by a car and died suddenly, she went into totally deep grief, unforgiveness and guilt. And then she died 2 years later of breast cancer. She wasn't attached to her soul journey. She was too attached to the physical. Another one on my Facebook page, her son overdosed, and she's still grieving years later in her ego big time, because I'm sure she's feeling guilty that she didn't save him from taking opiates and killing himself. So we had, again, attached to the physical beauty presence of that third dimension being that we give birth to. If we stay attached to the physical, when they leave, Woo, we can't handle that. That's too. That is just too much grief, pain. Okay, so these two people, Chesley and Vincent, they left a lot of people in pain. Why? Because they were attached to their physical beauty. But the creator says, okay, these are soul journeys that Chesley and Vincent were on. I knew, he says in Jeremiah, I think is, I knew you before you entered your mother's womb. So I personally believe that the Chesley and Vincent were told, listen, this is your assignment. This is your script. You're going to go down there in your mother's womb. You're going to be in a Catholic environment for a few years, blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to become a model. This is my vision of the creator's assignment. You're going to become a model. People are going to love you. You're going to get the attention of the world. These two people had the world's attention because of their beauty, their modeling. And then the creator says, and then you're going to create a lot of pain and guilt and whatever because you're going to take your life. You're going to jump out of your body, your soul exit day. This is your exit day. So I'm just giving you this assignment. You may not remember, but when you go down there, you're going to have a sign. You're only going to be there 30 years because I need to bring a message to the human beings on earth about ego. My friend and I were talking the other day, and she said, this is so selfish of Vincent. This is just so selfish. I said, you're right. His ego was all over the place. That's what ego is. It's all about me. All about me. It's all about me. People who despise money, they don't think about the collective purpose, the bigger picture, the overstanding, why we're here. No, because that was not their assignment. That was not. Obviously, that they left the building early, 30 years. The creator said, good job. You're going to leave a lot of people wondering what the hell happened here. Why did this person have blah, blah, blah. But the creator intended talking about two souls. Remember, we got to come out of the physical. If we're going to come out of our pain when people leave, erase the physical, get into the soul purpose journey of that person. Why did they come here? What's the message they came to bring? Beautiful, beautiful lesson they're bringing us. And we're going to come back. We got to take a break. Come back to 773, I think that we're 960. We're going to come back to you after the break. And 312-671, or I think we already did. I think that was Minister Pond. But we'll come back to 773-960 right after this last break. We got one more break for Willie Wilson, this humanitarian, and a few other people. Let's see where they go. And we'll be right back.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you or your organization need space for an event? Call the Quarry Event Center at 2423 East 75th Street in Chicago. For your parties, banquets, award ceremonies, repasses, concerts, and business seminars, available 7 days a week, now under new management. Call us at the Quarry at 773-663-2557. That's 773-663-2557.
much for hanging in here with me as we develop emotional intelligence so that we might prevent exits like Chesley and Vincent took. But if you don't, that's okay, in my opinion. No judgment. Whatever exit you choose, that's you, between you and your creator. Not our business. In fact, I just have to mention that someone kept sending me a video about Bill Cosby. It's a new YouTube video, why we should be concerned about Bill Cosby, why he's not in jail, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, really? With all that's going on, you can't mind your own damn business and you worried about Bill Cosby? Can we just stop this, please? Can we please stop getting involved in distractions like monkeys? That's a distraction, people. We got work to do. We got work to love each other, support each other, teach each other about how to manage this shaming R. Kelly, all of that. I want to mind my own business. My business is that of the creator, to raise the consciousness. That's why I show up here every Friday morning, every Sunday night, on Wednesday. That's my business. Let everybody just try and mind their own sole purpose business. If you don't know what that is, call me. Or see, go to my website, Your Holistic Life Coach, and I can try and direct you to your business, not Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, and all the other people out there who distract you. Learn the lessons today from Vincent and Chesley. Doesn't matter how we exit the house. It's just the lessons are going to come and get. And I have information text to me about the black boys are engaging in more lethal means when attempting suicide. It's really not about black or white. Souls are engaging in crazy activity right now. All the souls on this planet who were at one time white souls in white bodies, and the Africans beat up on their own tribe. So we got to stop labeling people's color of their skin and get into soul energy. What is the energy we're receiving from these people? A lot of people in the black community are angry, confused. People in the white community are angry, confused. It's not really about color. It's about the condition of souls today in this crazy, insane society we're in. So let's just bring some sanity to all people, regardless of their color. And let's try and bring harmony like Minister Plump with music. I'm going to open up the mic to 773-960. Your mic is open.
Yeah, good morning. This is Koofy with the James.
Sumani Koofy, how are you on your emotional intelligence today?
I don't have any problems.
You could teach us a little something.
They call me self-love. People are like, wow, I've been threatened, harmed, I'm in attacked for loving myself. And I call it WW, I call it World War Petty Three. And people are, when people have been, we've been under a world attack. When it ends, what happens is when the smoke clears, people start attacking each other. And this is what's going on right now. All over, I see it. And I laugh at it. And I go, and what happened is they dump everybody back down to a lower frequency to where they are acting out of their physical emotions. If you look at somebody nowadays, they're ready to fight. People are in their emotion because you know why? Everybody believed in this hoax that went on. I didn't believe it. I'm fine. I didn't go for it. I knew what it was. And the problem is, especially in the black community, I've been ministering for over 30 years.
30
people
again.
Come back to me. People come ministering, you know, trying to help people understand, I mean, God's light and difference between religion and spirituality. People come back to me 10 years and say, man, what you said a long time ago, I'm finally getting it. when we hear a prophet or a prophet's voice, we don't take heed to it. We're out here trying to warn people, stop believing the lies. It's real simple. The truth sets you free, and a lie puts you in bondage. and people are out here walking around in bondage. Now, there are a lot of people. I freed up a lot of people. I talk to thousands of people every day. I mean, it's like I got the world attention, you know, on my Facebook page, because people are like, wow, you post up some really, really brave stuff. And I go, well, don't scroll on my page. The problem is there is no problem. Our family, when I came into this world, my mama told me, she said, when you walk outside, represents the family. And that's what I do today. I don't represent the black nation. I don't represent anybody other than my family. I'm sorry. I'm not into all this black power and all that. I represent my family because that's where I came through. I didn't come through your family. I came through mine. Now,
yes.
God says love thy neighbor, I can be an example, and I help people. I give people food every day. I help people, you know, and give away money. I've given away hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yes, I would help people. But when I walk outside today, I am representing my family.
Yes. Thank you, Kubi. I got a few more callers I want to give in. I so appreciate you bringing it to the level of family. That is where we start changing the world. We don't change it worrying about Bill Cosby and R. Kelly. That's not how we're going to change anything. We change it by family. Folks, thank you so much, Kufi, for that wisdom. Family. We start with our families. If you're in a toxic family situation, get out of it. That's not going to change the world. In fact, you are contributing to the toxic environment of your community if you're staying in a toxic relationship. That's just a final word on that. Now let's go to 678-634. Your mic is open. Welcome to Health and Wellbeing. You have a comment about emotional intelligence.
Grand Rising, this is Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to say just briefly, EQ, because this is what you're discussing today. You're discussing emotional quotient. Just like we have an IQ, we have an EQ as well. EQ is the ability to actually filter and cipher any situations emotionally. That's what it is. Now, one thing about this particular subject, Viola, it is because we were taught as children how to suppress emotions, which means if you're crying, be quiet, sit down. And we've heard this so many times. Be quiet, even shut up. I'll give you something to cry for. So if we're ever in a position where we want to express ourselves in words, in actions, or behavior, we were taught by osmosis not to do so. Let me say that real quickly. The next thing, here comes life, okay? Life comes with its pressure. It comes with stressors. It comes with its choices. We make 30,000 to 40,000 choices a day. And if you are in your emotional mind, which means if you live emotionally, you will make all of your choices emotionally. We're supposed to have a balance between the reasonable mind, which is your logical center of your brain, and your emotional center of your brain. Now, when you were talking about egos and all these other things that people have been impacted from, you know, their parental influences, from life, our disappointments, all of these things impact us, causing what they call fragmentation. Fragmentation is the area of brokenness that is actually stimulates this emotional part of our brains, but most of all, it makes us think, feel, act a certain type of way. So here comes these things that we have to make real, what they call important decisions on our life. But we're making that from an emotional center. That means we are making it from our impulses. So that's why you see a lot of outcomes don't always have the healthiest type of actions because we're making it from our emotional center. And this is a programming, Viola. This is a programming that many, many people on this earth are in and don't even realize that they're emotional beings. Now, we have those ones called the empaths, and I'm sure you're familiar with that. It's when you feel things before you think things. You feel
right.
a person's aura. You feel trouble. You feel happiness. Okay, those particular kind of individuals are more so to be more emotional in life also than the ones who are not empathetic, empaths, if I could say that. So
okay.
when it comes to mental illness, I'm going to say this, just give me 30 more seconds here. When it comes to mental illness and EQ right there, that's an imbalanced area. Most people who have a mental illness think with their emotional mind. Very seldom, just from my experience of 15 plus years, I've never seen a person that did not, because of the emotional imbalance, such as bipolar, schizophrenia, depression, because those are emotional imbalance diagnoses. And that's what happens. So when they become, if they become suicidal or homicidal, all of that is, again, we go back to that emotional center. And I just want to let everyone know, once balance, the wise mind and the emotional mind creates balance. That's our goal. We want balance in life so we can find our destiny. Otherwise, we're just going to be followers and not leaders.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Debbie, for breaking down mental illness. I was going to play an audio, but you just played it for me with your words. That's our Thursday morning host, Dr. Debbie Green. You need to tune in every Thursday morning at 8 here on The Female Solution, because she brings us a very professional, wise experience that helps us focus on balance, as she said. This show today is really talking about learning to balance our emotions and our energy. Emotions are energy in motion. And when you have two people like we've been honoring today who chose to exit the building early, get out of the game of Earth's journey early, it's 30. We might think that's early, but the Creator doesn't. The Creator's timing is not our timing. So they're just here to bring us lessons. That's how I look at it. And when they choose to get out in the way they got out, we are here to process that and say, wow, there are lots of people who are choosing this way out of their body. Their souls make this decision to exit the physical realm, the third dimension, the beautiful model, perfect body. Exit stage right and go on to the next journey. And we here have to detach from the physical that we enjoy, the physical energy, and go to the next dimension with them if we want to understand what just happened. So I hope and pray that this has been helpful for those of you who might be grieving and in pain. We are in a little pain because it was so shocking the way they left, but we still have to move. If we want to have health going forward and not grief and low frequency of sadness and grief and unforgiveness and guilt, then we have to rise up to acceptance. We surrender to the divine acceptance that has been presented to us when someone is now in the grave. We cannot bring them back, only in our memory and only in the spiritual realm. So we're going to just do a little bit of breathing and meditation on my favorite meditate, earth my body, water my blood. This meditation is meant to bring us into more peace and more acceptance of who we are now. But then when we leave this body, we go into a whole nother. Wait a minute. I have one more caller who pressed one, I think. Let's see what they have. 773-977. Your mic's open. Sorry, I didn't see you there.
That's okay. Good morning to all. This is Lois here in Chicago, Illinois, in the South Shore area. really, I'm just thankful to God today for allowing us to be here. I know as we never have a prayer, and I believe that we all stand in the need of prayer. Whatever we're doing in life, I feel that we have to ask ourselves, am I pleasing God? Now, that question can only be answered by each individual.
Right, exactly.
And if we realize that God has allowed us another day, breathing free oxygen, am I pleasing God? Because we know that he loves us now, whatever they want to call him. You know, the different, I understand there's 257 different denominations nowadays. So, you know, whatever they want to call him, I feel the one who made the sky made us. And he knows all about us. As a matter of fact, my father, bless his soul in heaven, he'd say, God knows what you're going to do before you even do it. And when you do wrong, he said, you're going to have to answer. One day, he said, in judgment day, you will have to answer. He makes a note of everything that you do wrong. Now, I learned that as a little girl, 5, 6, 7 years old. Here I am in my 70s. The only way that I've made it, and killing someone, oh, come on. Who wants to kill themselves over what? You know, a lot of these things they call suicides are really homicides. And I have some that I could name call. They don't want me to get started. But no, I don't even believe that the beautiful young lady jumped out of a window. She could have found another way to kill herself. Everybody, I mean, what evidence do we have that she definitely jumped out of the window? Come on, a beautiful young lady. I feel that there was some kind of type of sexual approach involved. And I feel that if she wanted to kill herself, she would have chosen another way to do so. No medicines. Well, I can't say the medicines didn't cause it, but we don't have any evidence that she killed herself. And I think to honor her, we should tell the truth about it. She did not kill herself. I don't believe she did. Thank you for this time. Okay. God bless.
Okay, we're gonna play the Serenity Prayer. I think that's more appropriate at this point in time, because we could debate all day about that, what Lois just mentioned, but most of us believe she jumped off the building because she was depressed, which she said in her essay, which she said she was in a hospital for depressed. Her parents, her family said she was severely depressed. What do people do when they're severely depressed? They usually, if they have money, lots of money, they got health insurance, they go to a doctor, they get drugs. Antidepressants cause suicide. That's my take on that. But let's do a serenity prayer. Because so many people are having trouble accepting the things they cannot change. Change me. Why? First, love yourself. And then develop wisdom to know the difference between all. So let's just go for the words that you pray.
God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, courage to change all I can, and the wisdom, yes, the wisdom. Wisdom to know the difference. God grant me the serenity to accept, yeah, the things I cannot change, the courage to change all I can. Don't you know the difference?
that's my prayer for all of you. We all need to accept what we cannot change. And some of us just don't know what that is. We can analyze, criticize, and talk about it forever. But wisdom says, know the difference and move on. Mind your own. And that is first love your own. That's our business. Love people. And they don't know what their purpose is. So we're going to say thank you to all our global family now, and I thank you for joining me today to bring up this conversation and one that can go on and on.
The wisdom to know the difference.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion.
And
to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeong Kujung, France, Merci. Spain, gracias, Italy, grazie, Egypt, shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessings.